Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andy Herman, he's the host of the Pack-A-Day podcast, PackersReport.com, and you can find him at Andy Herman NFL on Twitter. Andy, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm doing great. I don't know how I follow up that story, but I'm looking forward to talking to you about some Packers football.
Yeah, I'd rather talk Packers football than the idiocy of Antonio Brown, who seems to be completely unstable at this point. But let me ask you this. The biggest criticism I have right now for this football team is not necessarily Aaron Rodgers and the whole rapport with Matt LaFleur, which I think is just completely stupid to focus on. I'm looking more at the offensive line that seems to be at the guard position right now between Lane Taylor and Elgton Jenkins. Seems to be a battle, and neither one is coming out smelling like roses. And the offensive line in general, we've had major breakdowns in the passing game to where Aaron Rodgers has been forced out of the pocket more than a few times. And he's been beat up, too.
Yeah, I think, first of all, they've had some really tough competition, of course. You know, you're going up against Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks week one, Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin week two. They don't get a break this week with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller either. So some very, very tough competition. David Bakhtiari has always been fantastic without question. But he's had one issue, and that's been a bull rush and kind of being overwhelmed with power at times. And it seems like maybe teams have kind of caught that on tape a little bit and have tried to kind of exploit that. So he's still playing very good football, but I think that's something that teams have kind of picked up on a little bit. And then the guard situation, you know, Matt LaFleur definitely wanted to, he emphasized the competition between those two. But he also mentioned when he was talking about him, there was just a little bit of a different emphasis when he was talking about Elgton Jenkins. I have the feeling that they want to get Jenkins involved. He's still young. He's still learning. But he's the more physical, better of the two players. And I do think that once these two players, once they feel more comfortable with Jenkins, he's kind of going to be the guy. And I think things are just going to solidify over time, too. These guys are still learning how to play together, and I think that's just going to come with time a little bit.
The defensive front, let's talk about Rashawn Gary. Limited snaps so far. Has there been anything that has impressed you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the raw athleticism and talent is there. He had a play this week where he hustled down the field and made a big hit. I think, you know, in a lot of situations is going to be a play where potentially there's a fumble on the play because the Viking got hit in two or three different directions. And, you know, you like to see that hustle. You like to see that energy. He still does not have a plan of attack on how to get to the quarterback. So that's the concern. He has the raw skills, he has the raw athleticism, but how can he figure out a pathway to get past the offensive tackles and the top-tier offensive linemen in this league? When he was making his name in training camp, a lot of it was coming against Jason Spriggs and Alex Lights. When it was in preseason, you know, even when he was struggling to get on the board, it was against a lot of second and third stringers as well. So he still has a ways to go. I think he's absolutely going to get there. He can still set the edge well, but they're using him really as a pass rusher at this point. So I think that's interesting first and foremost. It's a good situation to be in when you're behind Preston and Zadarius, and those two guys are playing as well as they are. But he needs to figure out that pathway to the quarterback, and that'll just come with time, hopefully.
Do you like what you see out of the new bookends out of the Smith brothers?
Could not be more impressed with either of them. And first and foremost, Zadarius Smith. I thought this guy came in. He showed on tape flashes of what we've seen so far in these two games in Baltimore, but he never got the opportunity to do it consistently. So now he comes in. He's kind of the guy in Green Bay. He gets the captain's patch. He's the last one out of the tunnel. I thought he was the MVP of training camp. A lot of times the people who are MVPs of training camp don't necessarily live up to that moniker when the lights come on and the season starts. He absolutely has. He was a force in week one. I actually thought he may have even been better this week against Minnesota. Didn't necessarily have the impact plays, but was just so consistent setting the edge. Delvin Cook had to constantly go back inside. The one play he got inside for the big play was unfortunately a play. Kenny Clark's not in there. A couple mistakes were made, but no fault to the edge rushers. And then, you know, you talk about Preston Smith, and he was a player on tape from Washington that I liked, and you saw some flashes, but the consistency wasn't always there. And it's still early. It's only two games. It's not like he's gone up against, you know, all-pro tackle or anything like that. But his heart, his energy, his hustle, the playmaking has been there. You know, he had really the game-sealing sack last week. He had the pressure on the interception. He had an interception himself this week. So he's shown all of this on tape, but it's never been anywhere near this consistent. So early returns are phenomenal for two big free agent signings for Brian Gutekunst.
Talking with Andy Herman of the Packaday Podcast and PackersReport.com. Give me your thoughts. Dean Lowry, we know, has been impressive. Tyler Lancaster, I was really impressed with some of the grunt work that he did in the game this past weekend. Did you happen to focus on him at all?
Yeah, very much so, and good call. I thought he was really stout up front as well. One of the things that he really struggled with last year, he was always stout at the point of attack, but he struggled with being on the ground a little bit too much, just kind of working on contact balance and things of that nature. I thought this last game, he really showed that. And he's never going to be a guy that's going to just all of a sudden burst to the quarterback, right? But he has a little bit of a slow burn where he just consistently keeps using his muscle and his motor and his ability to get underneath offensive tackles or offensive linemen and use leverage. You saw a lot of that this week. It's not always flashy. It's not always sexy. But he was absolutely getting the job done through the majority of that game. And he's somebody that they can count on as a run-stopping defensive tackle who gives you a little bit as a pass rusher just based off of pure effort and energy.
I want to go back to the offense. I thought the use of Mercedes Lewis in down and distance situations in the Chicago game, I thought it was excellent, because that's what we had seen before he became a Green Bay Packers, against the Green Bay Packers. The tight end position has been somewhat tenuous. Jimmy Graham has not necessarily lived up to what the expectations might have been and the hype might have been. Mercedes Lewis is more of a reception possession guy. Sternberger, you're waiting for him to come back. Give me thoughts right now as the utilization of the tight end position begins to unfold.
Yeah, loved it week one and just kind of some of the situations they made, and it kind of disappeared and dissipated in week two. In week one, I thought the big change was that they weren't going to use Jimmy Graham quite as much as a blocking tight end. You saw a lot of two tight end sets with Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis, and I think that's really a set that they can work out of, that they can run out of, hopefully get a little bit out of Tonyan in the passing game. They had the big play over the middle that Rodgers was able to connect with him on. Overall, I like how they used those two. And then Jimmy Graham, they used more as a move tight end. Didn't ask him to block quite as much. I know kind of the highlight play was him getting obliterated by Khalil Mack on a backside block. I don't have a huge issue with him trying to do a backside block here and there, but when you end up, you know, with Jimmy Graham doing a ton of one-on-one blocking, it's usually not going to end well, and I thought they kind of eliminated that in week one. And you had some solid results. Jimmy Graham had one of, you know, his best games in a while. You had the, of course, the lone touchdown of the game. You know, he had the big pass interference penalty. He leaped over a defender. You got some production out of the tight ends. Two catches for Mercedes Lewis, which for him was something that really didn't happen last year. And then this week, it just kind of all disappeared. And you didn't really see much out of the tight ends. And I think even to add on to that a little bit, for all the talk of Danny Vitale in the offseason and how good he was early in training camp, really haven't seen much of an impact out of him yet either. So those four players, the three tight ends and Vitale, have got to find ways to make a bigger impact in this offense. Teams are going to try to take away Devontae Adams. MVS is still trying to come into his own. The other receivers have kind of some niche skills here and there, but they've got to find a way to implement those tight ends a little bit more.
Hey, before I let you go, I want to ask you, Aaron Rodgers, he was crisp, he was concise, he was like a surgeon in the first three drives. After that, there was a lot of different things that began to break down. I thought they didn't get as bold, as we'll say, or take as many chances downfield. They weren't trying to get the big hitters. They were trying to be conservative. But what did you see in Aaron Rodgers' play from the first quarter in a couple of minutes, to the remainder of the ballgame?
Yeah, just a little bit of a lack of consistency carrying over into the second half of the game. And a couple plays were really, really close. So you had the play to Devontae Adams downfield where Harrison Smith just makes an incredible play on the football. You had a ridiculous throw to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, which was a contested catch opportunity, and MBS just couldn't hold on. You had a wheel route to Aaron Jones where Rodgers admitted in his Monday press conference that he needed to put more air on that ball and just kind of missed it. And if he hits Jones there, it's potentially a touchdown. So I think they're close, and I think for the first time we really saw some glimpses of what that offense could be. I thought Aaron Rodgers had more off-platform throws where he was very accurate, had great touch on the ball. He was able to get in the pocket, out of the pocket, and we saw some of that old-school Aaron Rodgers. But it's just having that consistency carry over. Give Harrison Smith that Minnesota defense credit. They made some great adjustments. They made everything contested in the second half. and things weren't quite as clean for the offense. But I think those glimpses are really the bigger takeaway than maybe some of the struggles in the second half.
Andy, good stuff. I know they can find you in the Pack-A-Day podcast and PackerReport.com and over on Twitter. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Can't wait. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Andy Herman, host of the Pack-A-Day podcast, PackerReport.com. Find him at Andy Herman NFL on Twitter. Good stuff. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.